Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Regarding the Holy Quran, the misconception I'd like to discuss today relates to the blessings of reading Surah Ikhlas. I'll read out five narratives in this regard, which are found in various tafsir books, which delineate the blessings of reading Surah Ikhlas. However, there are many more as well, and I have made this selection keeping in view of the fact that they are representative. Not to mention the fact that the other narratives that I've left out, they are equally weak as the ones that I'm going to describe before you. So the first of these narratives is found in Salvi's Tafsir, and it is reported by Jarir ibn Abdullah from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and its words are, "Man qara." Of course, the words Surah Ikhlas or Qul huwallahu ahad are suppressed here, but the implied meaning is, "Man qara Qul huwallahu ahad hina yadkhulu manzilahu nafatil faqr an ahli zalikal manzil wal jiran." Which means that a person who recites Surah Ikhlas when he enters his house, then poverty shall be eliminated from the people of that house as well as from the neighbors. This narrative is extremely weak because of the existence of a person called Marwan bin Salim. Now, various details about him have been recorded by Tehzeeb al-Kamal, of course, in Tehzeeb al-Kamal by Hafiz Mizzi. And I'm just going to read out some of the selected portions before you. Thus, for example, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Abu Ja'far al-Uqayli, and Nisai say that he's laysa bisiqa. At another place, Nisai says that he is matrukul hadith. And Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim say that he is munkarul hadith. Similarly, Abu Hatim says that he is munkarul hadith chiddan, zaiful hadith, laysa lahu hadithun qaim. And Hakim, Abu Ahmad, says hadithuhu laysa bil qaim. So in the presence of these details, we can clearly see that this narrative does not hold a sound ascription to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, as far as the second of these narratives is concerned, this is reported by Anas ibn Malik from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is also found in Salvi's Tafsir. The words are, "Man qara qul huwallahu ahad marratan burika alayh." وَمَنْ قَرَاهَ مَرَّتَيْنْ بُورِكَ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ فَإِنْ قَرَاهَ سَلَاسْ مَرَّتْ بُورِكَ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ وَعَلَىٰ جَمِيعِ جِيرَانِهِ فَإِنْ قَرَاهَ إِسْنَتَيْ عَشَرَ مَرَّةٍ بُنِيَ لَهُ إِسْنَتَيْ عَشَرَ قَصْرًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَيَكُولُ الْحَفَظَ إِنْ تَلِقُوا بِنَا نَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ قَصْرِ أَخِينَا فَإِنْ قَرَاهَ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ كفر عنه ذنوب 25 سنة ما خلا الدماء والأموال فإن قرأها 400 مرة كفرت عنه ذنوب 400 سنة ما خلا الدماء والأموال فإن قرأها 1000 مرة لم يمت حتى يرى مكانه في الجنة أو يرى له. A simple translation of this narrative would be that a person who recites Surah Ikhlas once, then he shall be blessed. Similarly, a person who recites Surah Ikhlas twice, then he as well as his family shall be blessed. And if he recites Surah Ikhlas three times, then he, his family, and all his neighbors shall be blessed. And if he recites Surah Ikhlas 12 times, then 12 palaces shall be made for him in paradise. And the keepers of paradise will say, "Come with us, let us see the castle of our brother." Similarly, if a person recites a Surah Ikhlas 100 times, then the sins of 25 years, and the sins that he has committed in 25 years, except the sins which involve blood and wealth, of course means life and wealth, they shall be forgiven. Except these sins, all the sins shall be forgiven. And if he recites this Surah 400 times, then his sins which he has committed in 400 years shall be alleviated from him, and he shall not be charged for these sins, except if these sins relate to blood, to life of course, and to wealth. And if he recites Surah Ikhlas 1000 times, then before his death he shall be made to see the place that he'll end up in paradise, or that place itself will be made to see that person. that place will see that person. This narrative too is extremely weak and stands on slippery grounds because of the existence of a person called Abban ibn Abi Ayyash. Regarding him, Imam Ahmad and Hafiz ibn Hajar say that he is Matruk, and Imam Nasai also regards him to be Matruk al-Hadith. Similarly, Muhammad bin Marwan, who is also called Suddi al-Saghir, he is Kazzab, he's a liar. And we have no information about two narrators here. One of them is Abu Bakr ibn al-Khasib, and the other one is Muhammad bin al-Hasan bin Saqlab. And incidentally, Nasiruddin Albani says that this narrative is concocted. This is what his verdict is, and it is obviously based on this data which I have just narrated before you. Now, as far as the third narrative is concerned, this narrative also is found in Salabi's Tafsir, and this is narrated by Sahal ibn Sa'ad. He says, from the prophets, he reports, جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فشكى إليه الفقر وزيق المعش فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخلت بيتك فسلم إن كان فيه أحد وإن لم يكن فيه أحد فسلم علي وقرأ قل هو الله أحد مرة واحدة ففعل الرجل فأدر الله عليه رزقا حتى أفاض على جيرانه. So Sahal ibn Sa'd says that a person came to the Prophet Muhammad and he says that he is stricken with poverty and he has very strained means of livelihood. So the Prophet said, the Prophet told him that when you enter your house, you pay salutations if there is anyone found in that house. And if there is no one found in that house, then you pay salutations to him, to the Prophet himself, and recite Qul Huwallahu Ahad, and he recites Surah Ikhlas. So it is reported that this person did as he was told by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the result was that the Almighty blessed him with a very, very expansive livelihood. His livelihood and his means of sustenance became abundant, and so abundant they became that he was even able to spend abundantly on his neighbors. Now, I'm afraid this narrative also is extremely weak, and this is because of the existence of a person called Abdullah bin Muhammad bin Yaqub. Now, we have a number of disparaging comments recorded about him by Hafiz ibn Hajar in Lisan al-Mizan, but I'm just going to confine myself to reading out some very selected ones. Thus, we find Abu Sa'id al-Rawas say about him that he is yuttaham biwazil hadith, that he is blameworthy of concocting narratives, he's fabricating narratives. And Ahmad Suleiman says, Kana yada'u hazal asnad ala hazal matan, wa hazal matan ala hazal asnad, that he would constantly add one text to other chain of narration and another chain of narration to some other text. So he would just intermingle various texts with different chains of narration and thereby concoct narratives. Similarly, Khatib says that he's la yuhtajju bihi. And Abu Zura Ahmad bin Al Husayn Al Razi, when he was asked about him, he said that he's Zarif. So, in the presence of this data, we can clearly see that this narrative also stands on slippery ground. Moreover, we also know the fact that Abdullah bin Jami' Al Hulwani and Umar bin Saad Al Attar, both of whom can figure in this narrative as well. We have no information about who these people are. Now, let me go on to the fourth of these narratives, and this is also recorded in Salbi's Tafsir, and this is narrated from Muhammad bin al-Munkadr. He says, "An Muhammad al-Munkadr, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, nazala malakum min as-sama' as-sabi'a, wa kharja min al-ard as-sabi'a malakun, faltaqiya ala hazihi al-ard, faqala al-lazi nazala min as-sama'i, قد رفعت اليوم عملا لم أرفع مثله قال الذي خرج من تحت الأرض ما ذاك قال قرأ رجل قل هو الله أحد 100 مرة قال ما صنع به قال غفر الله له. So Muhammad bin al-Munqadir reports on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says that the Prophet said that an angel descended from the seventh sky, the seventh heaven, and another one came up from the seventh earth, and both of them met on this earth, of course, meaning the fact that on the earth that they were, they met here. And the one who had descended from the seventh sky, he said that I have brought a deed up which I had never brought ever before. And the angel who had come from the seventh earth below, he said, what was that deed? What is that deed? And the angel who had said that earlier, he said that a person recited Qul Huwallahu Ahad, or he recited Surah Ikhlas 1,000 times, 100 times. He recited Surah Ikhlas 100 times. And the other angel asked, and what became of this? He said that the Almighty forgave him. Ghafarallahu lahu. Now, this narrative is again very questionable and cannot be accepted because of the fact that it is munqati, it is broken. This is because Muhammad bin al-Munqadir never met the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he is a tabi'i. He died in 131 AH. So he never met the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He is not among the Sahaba, and hence this narrative is broken and it cannot be relied upon. Now, I'm going to recite before you the fifth of these narratives which I have selected. Again, this has also been recorded in Salabi's tafsir, and it is reported by, or allegedly reported by, Abu Huraira radiya ta'ala anhu. He says, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سمع رجلا يقرأ وقل هو الله أحد فقال وجبت قيل يا رسول الله ما وجبت قال وجبت له الجنة. So it is said that Abu Huraira reports from the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم that he heard a person recite Surah Ikhlas, and then at this the Prophet is reported to have said it has become mandatory. So the Prophet was asked, what has become mandatory? The Prophet replied, paradise has become mandatory for that person. So for the person who has recited Surah Ikhlas, paradise has become mandatory for him. Now, this narrative too is not reliable because as recorded by Hafiz Zahbi in his Mizanul I'tidal, there is this person called Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman, and about him, Zahbi says that he is Za'if. And similarly, Imam Nasai says that he is Laysa Bizaqil Qawi. So in the presence of this data, we cannot accept this narrative as well. So all in all, we have seen that all these five narratives have extremely weak description, and they do not hold any sound grounds, and they cannot be relied upon. As I said earlier on, I have left many other narratives, and it's the fact that these narratives too, the ones which I have left out, they too are very, very unsound and unreliable. I've just made this selection just to bring before our viewers the fact that the ones I have selected, they are in some capacity are representative of the whole material. But like others, like the ones I have left out, these narratives as well, as I've just shown, they are extremely unreliable and they cannot be dependent upon. As I continue to stress in my talks that the proper way to reap the blessings of reading the Quran, indeed any surah, is to read the surah with a good translation, to understand the surah. Unless we understand the surah, of course, we will not be able to follow what the surah says to us, which is of paramount importance. We must realize that God has given us a message, and unless we are able to decipher the message, unless we are able to understand the message, we'll never be able to act upon that message. So it is extremely advisable that we study the Quran with a good translation and always keep pondering on the meanings of the surahs that we recite. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.